News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8.07 on Mobile Mornings. And things are moving swiftly in the Middle East as we speak. Donald Trump, President of the United States, has already addressed the parliament in Israel, and things are moving forward, huh?
Yeah, he just returned to Air Force One. He's going to have a meeting, a summit, I guess you could call it, later today in Egypt. It's interesting, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu declined the invite to participate in that conference. It'll be hosted by Egypt's President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi and Trump at the an Egyptian resort town, Sharm el-Sheikh. And Netanyahu, his office says he won't be there, citing the holiday of Simchat Torah, which begins around sundown, to explain his absence. Earlier today, the president of Egypt and an Israeli official had said that Netanyahu would be in attendance. So now he won't be. The last-minute invite ahead of the gathering had promised to resolve some of the awkwardness of a summit to herald Israeli-Palestinian peace proceeding without the presence of Israel's leader. Trump and leaders from around the world gathering in that town to commemorate his 20-point peace proposal, which got underway with a hostage deal and ceasefire. And he just spoke to the Israeli parliament before heading back to Air Force One. Have some of that audio, maybe play it for you here in a minute. But I think a lot of people will be keeping a close eye, or as close as they can from here, on the kind of the return here on the exchange, because so you have 20 living still hostages, and I'm interested to see the reports on how malnourished and injured these hostages are. They can't find the remains of all of the hostages that have perished since they were taken. Many of them over 2 years ago now at this point. But around 2,000, just under 2,000 Palestinian hostages or detainees released in response.
Or prisoners.
To this trade, prisoners, yeah, detainees. There's video of that, too, and it's kind of interesting. You know, everybody has their own version of the side they're on in this war, mm-hmm. and the propaganda they put out. But RT.com, which is Russian Times, they're a pretty popular account online, but they are kind of, you know, how everyone in America is saying, look how great it is. The Israeli hostages have returned. They have the medical care they need. I mean, they returned them to Hostages Square, for God's sakes, if that's a new name or if that's been around for some time. But RT.com posting kind of the inverse of that. Two men climb bus to embrace their released brother as emotional scenes sweep across Gaza. Release of 1,986 Palestinian detainees completed under agreement, citing the Israeli prison service. So what a trade. And the numbers normally do work out in that kind of
ratio.
Mm-hmm. When you're getting Israeli hostages in return for prisoners. So about 2,000 for 20 of them. And thought this was interesting, too. In the Wall Street Journal, they spoke with a couple different Palestinians, and they're not sure that this is completely over, just like so many others who've been following this most recent war, but really the ongoing events in the Middle East for some years. They said they spoke with a 50-year-old there in the old city of Jerusalem, okay, not in Gaza. So they said, I don't think the war will end, this 50-year-old said. After the Israeli hostages come out and our hostages in the prisons come out, Israel will go back to war. So down the road, a 25-year-old shopkeeper expressed similar views, but he said if President Trump kept applying pressure, the war could end. Quote, there's going to be a peace. Trump is coming.
So the released Palestinians include security prisoners who were serving sentences and detainees. They were held without charge. So some of these prisoners, it looks like it's about 250 prisoners. Some were serving long-term sentences, including some with life sentences for attacks against Israelis. So you have dangerous people being released, at least mm-hmm. In the eyes of the law.
Yeah, and I was talking with someone about this last week, and they said, you know, I'm hearing most of the released detainees will be women and children. I'm not sure how much of that, what percentage of those are women or children, or how many children were detained. by Israel. I'm not sure if that was actually, if there were a lot or not, but that'll be something that people really kind of keep an eye on. To see if they have a, so prisoners, like you said, include 250 people serving life sentences for convictions and attacks on Israelis. So yeah, those would be dangerous people, right?
Yeah.
And in addition to 1,700 seized from Gaza during the war and held without charge, more than 150 prisoners were sent to Egypt by Israel and arrived at Gaza's Rafah crossing with Egypt early this afternoon in Israel. That's according to an Egyptian official. Meanwhile, the Hostages Family Forum, let's see if I can close this out. The Hostages Family Forum, a grassroots organization representing many of the hostage families, said four bodies were expected to return to Israel today. So they are trying to get the remains of some of them returned. But so far, I guess so good on this ceasefire. It doesn't seem like there have been any extra attacks since it legitimately went into effect.
Yep. And over the weekend, before all of this, a lot of conversation Saturday and Sunday on the networks and cable news. This is an exchange between Dana Bash on CNN and Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona. And Dana asks the question, how much credit should we give the president? To me, it's almost a ridiculous question to ask. I guess you ask it to get Kelly on the record.
Get his reaction.
But here it is.
How much credit does President Trump deserve for this deal?
I think he should get a lot of credit. I mean, this was his deal. He worked this out. He sent Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, you know, over to negotiate this, and it's so far has gone well. Hopefully the hostages get released here. Might not be within 24 hours, but certainly I think by Monday. And that's progress. And now we're going to have to see what happens next. You know, my hope is the Saudis, the Emiratis, they step up and they do what they said they would do, which is invest in rebuilding Gaza, which 90% of the homes have been destroyed. It is such a tragic situation.
There you go. But, you know, I don't know how you avoid answering the question like that. Like what he could have said is he gets, you know, nearly all the credit on the American side, although Witkoff and he had aid with that as well. But I mean, it's Trump, the leader, that has driven this whole thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, kind of digging into this and how the pressure got ramped up on Hamas enough to finally follow through with this deal. And it's simply that Trump and others put enough pressure on their allies in the Middle East. First off, basically wiping their main ally off the map, Iran, militarily.
I think that was huge in all of this.
It was a huge part of it. But also they have some other quote-unquote allies over there. And really, Trump credits getting closer with Turkish President Erdogan as he is kind of the puppet master over there, according to Trump, as far as being able to get things done involving the Muslim countries. And so Biden avoided Erdogan. Didn't really use him much at all in this process. So I think Erdogan played a pretty big part in this. Trump's speech this morning, too, from the clips that I've seen so far, pretty interesting as he spoke with Parliament. Here's some of what he had to say. Hold on. Let me unmute him here. All right, Trump.
Clear to everyone throughout the region that decades of fomenting terrorism and extremism, jihadism and anti-Semitism have not worked. They haven't worked. They've been a disaster. They've just killed. They've killed. They've backfired completely and totally. They've just totally backfired. Everything that you thought, take it worst case, it's turned out to be worse than that. They have not worked. From Gaza to Iran, those bitter hatreds have delivered nothing but misery, suffering, failure, and death. They've served not to weaken Israel, but to annihilate the very forces that did the most to foment this hatred. And it's really, I mean, everybody that's tried it has become irrelevant. Meanwhile, we've seen those nations that set aside their differences, reached across ancient divides, and pursued engagement are now among the most successful in the region.
And I think that's a huge part of it, too. With Kushner's involvement, and it's funny, you see any time online where they bring up Kushner's involvement in the Abraham Accords in that first term, Jared Kushner, of course, the president's son-in-law, tight part of his cabinet in that first term. He's kind of not really part of the cabinet this year, still cutting a lot of business deals.
He was brought in on this.
Seems to have brought it along to the point where we're at now. But you'll see comments where they're like, yeah, and he's making a ton of money on it too, cutting all these business deals. Well, I hate to break it to a lot of these people, but there's a lot of people making a lot of money off of war when it's going on. What's better, to make big money off of peace or big money off of war?
Peace.
And Trump talked about some of these regions, how they've some of these countries in the Middle East have turned more towards worried about making money than any kind of religious war continuing.
Yeah.
And tying these countries up economically to the point where they don't want to fight because it'll ruin their cash flow, that's a massive part of this too. But Trump also spoke about, you know, it was seven wars the ended. Now, get ready for him to say eight every time he talks.
But when you settle eight wars in 8 months, that means you don't like war. Everyone thought I was going to be brutal. In fact, I remember Hillary Clinton during a debate, she said, look at him, look at him. He's going to go to war with everybody. And actually, she said, he's got a personality that's all about war. No, and my personality actually is all about stopping wars. And it seems to work.
Yeah, pretty good line there from Trump. And he's clearly, they're loving it over there in the Israeli parliament. We will see if this holds. It would be if the hostages are returned and then they just keep right back at it, that'd be a real hit to the momentum that's already been going here.
You just see the squirming going on with left media, with Democrats trying to respond to all that. How could they not be overwhelmingly impressed with what has happened, except for the man that's made it happen is somebody they despise so much.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, if they don't want to talk about his success in the Middle East, they can just turn to the government shutdown and criticize him there, which there was certainly a lot of that going on over the weekend.
And ICE. They continue to talk down on ICE and make ICE more vulnerable, I think. We've got some of that audio from J.D. Vance we might get to this hour, but he was talking about the media and the role it's played in emboldening people to do what happened in Dallas a couple of times, including the couple weeks ago when the gunman shot and ended up killing two Mexicans, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's trying to shoot on an ICE containment center.
Yeah, and as far as the war in Ukraine, no real movement on that either. They keep attacking each other. Russia just hit the Ukrainian energy grid again over the weekend, trying to affect them in that manner. But now the big question is, will Trump send over the Tomahawk missiles and give Zelensky the go-ahead to hit further inside Russia? And Trump says he will if Putin continues to reject peace talks led by the U.S. On Air Force One en route to Tel Aviv earlier today, Trump said he remains hopeful for a diplomatic resolution but is increasingly frustrated by Moscow's lack of engagement. Providing Tomahawks as would be a major escalation for the Trump presidency here, as Washington has so far blocked Ukraine from using those missiles to strike deep inside Russia. Trump met with Zelensky recently. He said he plans to speak directly with Putin, adding, quote, do they want to have Tomahawks going in their direction? I don't think so. So he's ended eight, and now
he's looking to work on nine.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's going to be done through NATO, right? The Tomahawks will be in the possession of NATO.
Yeah, I believe NATO purchases them from the U.S. and then gives them
to Ukraine.
Pretty obvious loophole there, right?
Yep, there it is. Okay, interesting. What a day. What a day. In the Middle East.
And Butterknife texting, I watched CNN this morning. They were extremely pleased with Trump. They weren't talking down about him at all.
Okay, good. It's 8:20. I'm telling you, next up, The View. Donald J. Trump on The View. Dan Dalton and Mobile. You can come on this show anytime. Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:26 on Mobile Mornings. Vice President J.D. Vance, I don't know, he was on Stephanopoulos too. He was also on with, he was on
NBC.
Welker. Yeah, NBC. I guess this is Face the Nation with Kristen Welker. She was kind of, I mean, he's the Vice President of the United States. Shouldn't he be treated with a certain level of conversational respect?
I'd say so, but we so rarely have vice presidents willing to go on with the national media and spar it out. You know, well, I mean, well, how many interviews
does it have to be a sparring? If you're on with the national media, I mean, you can ask questions in a nice way. You can be respectful of the time he's giving you and not feel like you have to interrupt him. Mm-hmm. I know you got a big Pfizer commercial that you got to squeeze in. Yeah. It's on the way. You know what I'm saying? Just
just not so confrontational.
Right.
But,
and not so
they're
quick.
Expected of it, though. They're expected to be confrontational, especially when you're the lead anchor like a Welker or a Stephanopoulos for ABC.
So I don't know if Welker's in this clip in the beginning. No, she's not, because she asked J.D. Vance about ICE and the violence and all of it.
Well, the president's looking at all of his options. Right now, he hasn't felt he needed to. But we have to remember, why are we talking about this, Kristen? Because crime has gotten out of control in our cities, because our ICE agents, the people who are enforcing our immigration laws, have faced a 1,000% increase in violent attacks against them. We have people right now who are going out there, who are doing the job the president asked them to do, who are enforcing our immigration laws. They're being assaulted. They're being beaten. They're being shot at. The problem here is not the Insurrection Act, or whether we actually invoke it or not. The problem is the fact that the entire media in this country, cheered on by a few far-left lunatics, have made it okay to tee off on American law enforcement. Yeah. We cannot accept that in the United States of America. We want everybody, black or white, rich or poor, to be safe in the United States of America. But to do that, we have to empower our law enforcement agents to keep us safe.
Mr. Vice President,
that's what we're talking about doing.
Couple of points here. First of all, an Illinois judge said that state and local authorities have been able to handle protest activity, that ICE, that other federal agencies have been able to continue to do their work. Crime is down in both Chicago and Portland, but is there a rebellion here? That's what would trigger an insurrection act. Is it imminent?
Kristen, crime is down in Chicago and Portland often because they're so overwhelmed at the local level, they're not even keeping the statistics properly.
She was so anxious to get to her question. She's interrupting the Vice President of the United States. I think that's damn rude.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't know. I mean, he's the Vice President of our country, and she's treating him like he's a congressman from New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, we do know also, too, politicians, they're good at filibustering. We joke sometimes when we talk with even friendly interviewers.
That's fine. But
they just keep it going.
But he was wrapping it up. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree, but I also don't have as much of an issue with it as long as they're putting the screws to the opposition as well. If they're putting the screws to everybody that they're interviewing, then that's fine. That's what a journalist is actually supposed to do. But the problem is we haven't seen the tough interviews for Democrats, and they've just been easy while they put the screws to the Republicans until, you know, recently. And on CBS yesterday, I thought this was interesting, too, regarding the shutdown. Margaret Brennan, certainly no conservative, was talking with Democrat Senator Murphy. And here's how that little exchange went about the shutdown.
You have been critical in the past of the tactic of choosing to shut down the government. You were in 2018. You were back in 2013 when it was a discussion over health care. This is what you said in 2018.
The future of the American healthcare system was a legitimate public policy issue, as is the security of our borders. But we shouldn't be having the discussion amidst a government shutdown, trying to use our nation's security and all of these federal workers and the work that they do as hostages.
Aren't you doing today exactly what you were criticizing then?
No, that was a fight over sort of the long term.
So putting it to him, Senator Murphy.
Glad to hear that. 830 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 834 here on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Tell us what we can expect if we come out to McConnell Automotive in person this week. Of course, if you're not able to make it, they have a great website. But what you have on the lot?
Man, we've got the great selection of pre-owned and great selection of new stuff. It's coming in every day. And, of course, it's going to be a beautiful week, it looks like. So don't have to worry about the rain. Don't have to worry about anything else. We're going to be here all week. But like you said, check out the website, McConnellAutomotive.com. I want to thank everybody that came in Saturday. We sold a few cars, got some decent trades, and we'll have those up on the website here shortly. And if you're interested in selling your car, need a little of that Christmas cash coming in, we're interested in buying it. So give us a call, 251-476-4141. Ask for Mike Hatcher, Eddie Hicks, and give them the VIN, a little description of the car and the miles, and probably give you a price right over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the most stressful things a person can take on, right? It's trying to figure out how to sell their vehicle. You guys take that stress away and make it an easy process. And I know tons of folks have taken you up on that. But you also have those great vehicles out on the lot. So a trade or coming in to buy one, not the worst thing in the world. Louie, we appreciate your time this morning, and have a great week.
Hey, you too. Come see us. Thank y'all.
Louie Raddick, go see him. He's at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And that website is great. It's McConnellAutomotive.com.
So I guess the swap is done, right? The hostages have mm-hmm. been freed and are now, I guess, mostly in Israeli hospitals. They've each been assigned a doctor and a psychiatrist and some other support. And likewise, the Palestinians have now been...
I think some. I'm not sure if the full 1,900 and whatever odd number.
Yeah, nearly 2,000.
Yeah. So it's in the process, but obviously this is a fragile ceasefire. Maybe less fragile than we've seen, but still imagine tensions are pretty high. I get pretty tense anytime the president's over there, right? So, I mean, we talk about the issues that Secret Service has had on our own mainland. Imagine what goes into getting the president traveling through all of these countries where you know there's tons of hostiles around, although maybe not right now. It seems like everyone in the Middle East are singing Trump's praises.
So, and he said it, and it's really true when you think about it. When was the last time you had people on both sides of this conflict? Well, you say both, but there's so many sides of this conflict. You have the Arab nations, you've got Israel, you've got the Palestinians. But they're all standing and applauding right now and celebrating what has happened. And the man behind it all was Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, this texter says he's probably safer over there. And as far as the shutdown, coming up on the 18th, which is this Saturday, are they still calling it the No Kings protest, or has it changed its name?
I think it's still that.
Another nationwide kind of get out and protest Trump for whatever your grievance may or may not be. And it sounds like that is the kind of decision spot for the Democrats and whether to sign along to reopen the government or not. They want to see what comes of this protest on the 18th.
See which way the wind's blowing.
See which way the wind is blowing. And hopefully, you know, we don't get any violent riots or anything of that nature, but tensions will be high again this weekend. You wonder how much of this is about the midterms for the Democrats and just each side trying to stack as many wins as they can going into next November.
I think it's all
for
about
those votes.
All about it.
Yeah, it has to be. And there's, you know, people blaming the Republicans, of course, people blaming the Democrats. But when you have the Republicans and Mike Johnson keeps coming out and saying it over and over again, this is the same continuing resolution that's been signed 13 times prior, which is ridiculous in its own right
that
we get to that
way.
Point every time. Yeah. But if that is the case, and it appears to be the case, how can this land on anyone but the Democrats? But some of you were right on the text line, and I didn't want to believe it, and you might not be right, but early on said that you think the Republicans will crack first over these premiums going up for Obamacare. And, you know, a lot of Republicans are on Obamacare, too, how that might hurt them going into the midterms, especially some of these purple districts or places where they have closer primaries than you would think. So maybe Republicans do fold here coming up. But right now, it appears they're no closer to making a deal. Let's see. Chris in OBA says, Monday after the Shrimp Festival is always a happy day for us locals. We're putting the world back together, opening the roads, and marking the end of the silly season until the dreaded snowbirds come back next month. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
He's got 1 month to breathe easy, and he's already lamenting the fact that the snowbirds are on their way.
You know, I can't. When we have the Hangout Festival, one of my favorite parts of that week are the arrest numbers and how many people they went and got and what they were arrested for. I don't know why I take such joy in reading those numbers.
I don't either.
But now, once the Shrimp Fest comes and goes, we get a report there for how many were selling imported shrimp illegally, not using the fresh Gulf shrimp instead going with the others. And we know there was one that got in trouble day of.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Was it Thursday? Thursday they got popped, and it was our story on Friday.
Yeah.
You're right. And by the way.
So also, I wonder how many more they got this weekend.
I don't know. I didn't see it as a story, you know, and I'm browsing all the sites. I didn't see it come up. You got to say, a few clouds Saturday morning. Otherwise, what a glorious, beautiful weekend at the beach or anywhere else. It was awesome Friday night in Saraland for the game. You had this little hint, tiny little sneak peek of fall, you know.
Feels like fall,
It was great.
Yeah, and for it to be in the 40s in Mount Vernon this morning, there's your sign.
There's your sign. And all this week, it looks like it's going to be pretty much the same. Temperatures will slowly rise a bit, but the humidity is going to stay low, and it's weather we can really get out and enjoy.
And by the way, before we, Desi Tobias coming in for Law 251 with Tobias and Comer Law here in a minute, but I want to get your take on something. By the way, Jeff Porchow, Bradley J will be on today, so will Dale Jackson and State Representative Mark Gidley. Auburn fans, and I think rightfully, Dan, very upset with some of the officiating from Saturday night.
Yeah.
I watched the Tennessee-Arkansas game before. There was bad officiating is just going around. But when you're a team, when it happens to the underdog who is playing well and can't seem to get off the mat, it just stings so much more. And to start, and there were bad calls before that, but the goal line play where it looked like Arnold got the ball across, but even if he didn't, Georgia certainly scored going the other way. I mean, they completely botched that, and then the Kirby timeout, and then he started clapping, and they took the timeout away.
And restarted reset the clock so Georgia could get that playoff, right?
Man.
Part of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an Auburn fan, you're frustrated, and I totally get it, but... because it's not been happening to any other team in the SEC that I've seen like it has to Auburn the last two times they've played.
Yeah, the last two games.
You know?
And rightfully, Hugh Freeze upset, the AD upset.
He's only got about so much time left to be upset as a head coach at Auburn.
You're right. Maximus getting it started. He says, it's Tennessee hate week, Dalton. Roll Tide, roll. Yeah, I'll hear a lot of that this week. Hey, Desi Tobias joins us next. And welcome back to Mobile Mornings here on FM Talk 106.5. And great, as always, to see our friend Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law. He is in studio with us for another edition of Law 251. And it's starting to feel a little nicer outside now, isn't it, Desi? Starting to get towards, I'm not calling it fall weather yet, but we're heading in that right direction.
You know, it is. There's always some false falls that you can't fall for.
Yeah.
But with football season, and we're moving into midseason, so we're close.
Yeah, we are. And, of course, we have plenty to talk about in Law 251 today. And I'm going to switch it around. I'm just going to let people know beforehand and afterwards, TobiasComerLaw.com. We put our Law 251 podcast, we upload it to that every month, and we've been going for several years now, so we have all kinds of great content from our podcast with you coming in and Brian and Lacey. It's really worth checking that out. I'll remind you again at the end of our conversation here. But speaking of, you know, it's fall now. We've had a lot going on around here. Maybe one of the biggest bits of news, and a lot of people are excited about this, that new Amtrak line and Amtrak running, of course, along the Gulf Coast, the Mardi Gras line, they call it. So Mobile to New Orleans and stops in Mississippi all the way. And people are, of course, excited about this. I've seen some really good trips people have taken. But Amtrak, the passenger trains run with a bit of different, maybe expectations isn't the right word, but if you're someone waiting at the crossing, they run faster often than the freight trains, right? They just move differently. So if you're used to crossing, and this is on the heels of a terrible accident past Christian not that long ago, but the Amtrak lines, they move faster. You got to be aware of that when you're at the crossings.
Yeah, that's correct. That the new service with Amtrak has been hugely popular, and I was so glad to see that take off like it did. And I heard the new word for Mobile is y'all aboard.
y'all aboard.
But, you know, it's twice a day coming and going back from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. But it does bring to mind some of the new rules that are applicable. And that was a tragic accident. Mm-hmm. And we're used to seeing freight trains. And the freight trains, like in Midtown, we still have certain collisions with people on the tracks. The speed limit for trains is 10 miles per hour in urban areas. Whereas where this collision occurred in Passe Christiane was it was going 44 miles per hour, which is the speed for crossings. Mm. So it's much higher. And those trains actually go up to like 80, 85. So and the thing to always remember, and I remember this for myself as a kid, was you heard this all the time, stop, look, and listen. Mm. There's many safety issues presented by the railroad crossings, and the railroads always have the right of way. If it's a crossing, they have the right of way.
Always, huh?
They always do, yeah. So, you know, and some of them are different. There are some with gates. There are some with just lights and horns. But just to remember, mm-hmm. you know, always go out there, stop, look, and, you know, as you're crossing to make sure you're okay.
Yeah. And you brought up something just before we went on air. We were talking. There's a phone number. You said it's a blue sign, or is this at every crossing or supposed to be at every crossing with
right,
a number
right.
on it?
It is at every crossing. And there's a blue sign. And if you look, you know, it's by federal law. If you look, you'll see a phone number there. And that's to contact if there's any kind of problem, something on the tracks, a problem with the tracks, you can call that number and it will alert the train or the railroad or whatever the authority quickly about what's going on.
That's good information. I mean, it feels like something I should have already known, but that was new news for me. So I'm going to be looking for that now every time I cross, just say, oh, there it is, just like Desi said. But it's interesting as you dive in, I love how the whole team there, you're so much, well, you're much more studious than I, but once you start thinking about something or diving in, you really dive in and you find out a lot. And you, I guess the topic of railroads kind of came up and you were kind of looking into federal railroad law, and it's interesting how it kind of ties into maritime law in a way. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. And I recently had a case involving had something to do with the railroads, and it, you know, that's part of our culture. The railroads, you know, you hear the train and the whistle and all that kind of stuff, and that's what brought us the Industrial Revolution, or at least the first one. You know, but that's how you didn't come to Mobile. You know, you came by horse. You didn't come by the interstate or by the at the airport. You came through the train, and that was such a huge part of everything in our society.
Yeah,
and so anyhow, the back in the 1880s, I forget which president said, you know, those railroad workers are risking life and limb more than our soldiers. You know, so they passed what's called the Federal Employers Liability Act, which is like worker comp. But it was very new for the time, and that still is with us. And it's, if you're working on a railroad, a railroad worker injured, it's very favorable. It doesn't have some of the worker comp things or restrictions. You get paid automatically, but then you don't get pain and suffering, disfigurement, mental anguish. You know, all of the things that you say may get as damages in a car accident, mm-hmm. the FELA provides that to the railroad workers.
Interesting.
And what was really interesting to me, and I've seen this quite a bit in what I do, is that the maritime workers, who I also like represent and have had a practice with mm-hmm. for many years, the Jones Act is what protects workers on a vessel in navigation, the maritime workers. That law is, they said, follow the FELA law. Hmm. So we've talked many times about the Jones Act and maritime law and how it's favorable. But the same thing applies to those people working on the railroads. And, you know, I've just followed it a little bit. Our railroads are really picking up, mm-hmm. you know. I've heard that there's an inland port that's went under construction this week in Montgomery. Hmm. And, you know, there's more and more cargo coming in, a new coal train coming in into the Port of Mobile, and now we have the Amtrak passenger service. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot more railroad, hopefully, work, traffic, commerce, all of that.
Yeah, and that was part of the deal with the Amtrak coming in, was that extra money for the tracks for the freight liners, and it's interesting how they're building all that out. To kind of tie this into an upcoming current event, I guess if you want to call it that, and this is something we've discussed pretty much year in and year out, Teen Safe Driving Week, or Teen Safety Driving Week, coming up October 19th, I guess, is when it starts. And this is a good, you know, PSA to get out there about these trains. It's one thing, you know, if you're used to crossing at a certain crossing and you're used to a certain type of train that's going a certain speed, these Amtraks can kind of be tricky for you. But for teens, I mean, I think probably the biggest problem is keeping the head out of the phone, but there are so many more. They are learning drivers, and this is a good week to really draw attention to that coming up.
Right. It's so important, you know, because I've just seen it so many times. I have children myself that are seniors in high school, and, you know, just the accidents, there's two or three accidents and you hope none of them are serious, usually in most teenagers. Mm-hmm. But just to focus on that for this week of, you know, teens, what you can teach them and tell them about how to drive safely and to become good drivers. And I was looking at it. Alabama has laws about, you know, new drivers. Mm. You know, they have there's a learner stage.
Yeah, the permit.
Yeah, the permit. There's an intermediate stage. Like when they're 16, mm-hmm. At the intermediate stage, they can't drive after midnight till 6 a.m., which is a good rule anyhow.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're entirely prohibited from having a cell phone until they reach the age of, I think it's 17 or 18.
Ah,
but
that makes perfect sense.
It does. Yeah. It does. And Alabama does have laws on the books about enforcing. There's a cell phone law, mm-hmm. which you can't you hold the cell phone while you're in a car for any other driver. Mm-hmm. It has to be hands free. But there's absolutely no texting or texting.
Yeah, no texting.
No texting. And that part of it's a primary law, where if they see you texting, they can pull you over.
Yeah.
If you can't be cited for just holding a cell phone if you're an adult driver, unless there's some other violation.
I think that actually has had an effect on me, too, just knowing that that's law. And I know that the legislature's made a bigger and bigger point to be vocal about that. And I'm proud to say I rarely pick up the phone when I'm driving. Try not to at all, unless for extreme circumstances. But it's not just the teenagers that distracted driving you get. It gets everybody of all ages. But it's really important that the teenagers know how quickly things can go south if they're not paying attention.
Yeah, it is. And what I see so many times, it's the accident is that's what happened. Mm. You know, is there some distraction? That's the first thing we kind of look at, is when you can tell that an accident happened because somebody's attention was diverted. And usually we find that that's what it is. And as everybody's out there driving on these roads, and in Florida, a vehicle is termed a dangerous instrumentality, which it's just a different law. I'm licensed over there also, but it means that the owner can be held automatically liable, but it is a dangerous thing. And as you go about driving and going across the roads, that's one thing we don't want to be doing.
Well, we'll post the article. It's at TobiasComerLaw.com. There's a really good write up on just some, you know, checklist stuff to remind your teens about for this upcoming Teen Safe Driving Week. All kinds of resources there, and all kinds of information about the firm too, Tobias and Comer Law. And really appreciate you coming in, as always. You guys are local. I know I see you around town every now and then, and you really care about this community, and it's evident whenever I talk to you. So really appreciate you coming in again today, Desi.
Great to talk to you again, Dalton. We really appreciate you and our working relationship.
Yes, sir. Well, Desi Tobias with Tobias Comer Law, another edition of Law 251, another great one, if I don't say so myself, but we'll post this up on our website, and also it'll be available at TobiasComerLaw.com. Don't forget Teen Safe Driving Week coming up the 19th of this month. That does it for us this morning on Mobile Mornings. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show. He's on the way next.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services above us.
Hello.